CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. You're in the capable hands of Pumi Mashiko, Bulelo Tinta, and I this morning. This is CliffCentral.com. And we're ready to look after you on a Thursday. I can't believe it's already a Thursday. And I said to Mbulelo, because he said, how's it going this morning? And I said to him, you know what? Actually, damn fine. I'll tell you why. Sorry about that. Here's the reason it's fine. Is that... And it's not because I'm doing this that I sneezed. But look here. T-shirt. I'm wearing a T-shirt. I have no heaters on. I got out of bed this morning. And the sun, you can see that light, faint idea that the sun is just trying to make it to 6 o'clock again, which means that the year is turning to our advantage. I just love when spring and summer start to just peep over the horizon, and that's what's happening today. I mean, if I could sit in this room and I can do the show with a T-shirt on and I'm not freezing my balls off, then I know I'm doing a good job, and that's how I'm feeling this morning. So... you know what? There is a glimmer of hope, and I'm loving it. I'm just very, very excited about this. So I'm as optimistic as it's possible to be this morning. How are you, Pums?
It's a good morning.
How are you?
I'm a little further to the west, so it's still very dark here. But there is a lovely little crescent moon peeking out.
Well, the West, you talk about the West. Have you seen that show everybody is talking about at the moment called Devilsdorp, about Krugersdorp?
Ooh. So I did see it. I did see the name, and I asked myself, am I this kind of girl? Am I the kind of girl that watches a show called Devilsdorp?
Yes.
I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure about that.
Well, this is apparently...
Is it worth it?
I haven't watched it yet, so you're asking the wrong person. But amazingly, and I think extremely interestingly, this is one of the most watched things on Showmax. I think it's Showmax. It's not on Netflix. It's on Showmax. Yeah. One of the most watched things on Showmax ever. It's broken records because people do love... People love a bit of Satanism. They really do. You know...
It's got Satanism.
It's got Satanism. It's that Satan. Woman. It's that woman. Satan. Isn't that that's the sign? So, you know that woman who started that that death cult, and she lured in professionals, and they were killing people for her? And do you remember it was a big court case? And it's very...
Listen, we all love a bit of cult. Whoop. We all love a bit of a cult.
Let me tell you.
All love a bit of a cult.
So if you haven't watched this, you need to put it on your watch list, because we'll speak to the people who actually put that documentary together, because it's a documentary.
It's so cool.
Yeah, and we're going to speak to them on the show soon, so I'll let you know when that's up. And speaking of who we're going to have on the show soon, tomorrow, I'm holding thumbs, I'm crossing my fingers, tomorrow, if all goes well, we're going to have somebody who I've been watching clips of. This woman, it is just my favorite thing ever. Have you seen Lily Slapped Silly?
No.
You haven't seen Lily Slapped Silly. Lily Slapped Silly is this brilliant, like, drag artist, and she plays the role of this woman who's this northern suburbs Yenta Kugel of the most epic proportions. And she's
Mbulelo's kind of chick.
Let me tell you something. She is hilarious. And anybody who hasn't seen her, she goes, "Hello, my kukla." And she talks like this on the phone to all of her friends. Have you seen her? So funny.
Jeez. I know exactly who you're talking about.
Two things I have to go look for today.
Yeah. Lily Slapped Silly. And then you've got to look for Devil's Door. I'll watch that as well, long before we interview the people.
I'm going to watch Devil's Door over the weekend. You know, speaking of cults, I read an article the other day. Do you know the saying, drank the Kool-Aid?
Yes.
Yes.
Do you know where it comes from?
Doesn't it come from that Jonestown massacre?
Yeah.
Jonestown? Yeah. I was blown away. I was just like, how have I... Like, there is nothing I don't know about Jonestown until this drinking the Kool-Aid story. It's so bizarre. And there is a woman in Congress who is an actual congresswoman who survived Jonestown.
Well, I reckon if you've ever been in a cult, you shouldn't be allowed to represent people in the in the parliament. If you've been in a cult, that just should immediately... You should just be disqualified from certain things in the... You shouldn't be allowed to be a judge. You shouldn't be allowed to be a counselor. You shouldn't be allowed to be a member of parliament or a congressperson, because you've proven already that you're extraordinarily gullible. Although, I mean, having said that, lots of people fall for this stuff, right? And some of them are very intelligent.
Not only did she survive Jonestown and then become a politician and get elected into Congress... Mm-hmm. She's been elected 7 times into Congress.
What is it? Do you know what her name is?
I'll have to find her name for you. But I mean, this article, she's got a book out. She's got a book out, 70 years old now. And she survived she was one of the people that were on the runway that were trying to leave, that were shot at, right? So there were those people as well.
Right.
And she was shot at. And then she just lay there on the tarmac pretending to be dead. That's how she survived.
That whole Jonestown thing is fascinating. You know, I had completely forgotten about it as an event because it was in the 70s. So I don't think I was even around when it happened. If I was a very small baby. What year was it? There was this documentary There was this brilliant thing in December last year on the History Channel. And it was going through the 100 greatest events of the 21st century. I mean, the 20th century. And this was, you know, counted down from 100 to 1 of the most important things that happened in the years 1900 to 2000. It was a fascinating show to watch because each event they gave a good 5 to 10 minutes to. So it was spaced out over about 4 or 5 days. And
1978.
Okay,
I was born, I was a
tiny baby. I was not conscious at all. But this Jonestown massacre suddenly grabbed my attention because I thought, I remember reading about that as a kid, and it freaked me out that there was this dude who he killed himself while he was sitting on the throne, right? And they all drank this stuff to kill themselves, a poison, and
cyanide,
and these. The U.S. military arrived too late to save some of the people. But they basically...
909.
They start,
909 people.
They started mass suicide. They started in America, and then they realized they couldn't stay there because they were being hunted down by the FBI and you know, the state authorities, because they were obviously a danger to society at large, and, you know, a lot of cults are. And so they moved to... What was the island called? Was it Haiti?
Guyana,
that's right. And then they set up these huge warehouse churches, and they were like a commune. And, you know, some of the women worked growing vegetables, and some of them were doing the washing, and some of the guys were chopping down trees. And they effectively thought that they could establish some kind of autonomous collective. And it was it went sour very quickly, as these things tend to do. And just an unbelievable story. This happened at a time where people had access to information where they should have known better. You know, human beings love a good cult, hey? We fall for this shit. We really do. And you think you're too good for it, and then, you know, a cult comes along that ticks your boxes, and before you know it, you're in it. I mean, this is what really happens.
Have you seen Going Clear, by the way, Louis Theroux, famed South African Brit guy. Have you seen Going Clear before?
No.
No. Oh,
is that about
so
the
weekend,
is that about the Mormons?
Weekend coming. No, Scientology.
Scientology, right. Leah Remini.
She was kind of in the first one, but they did some stuff together, and her show is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Her Scientology show is phenomenal. But Miscavige and what they're up to there,
oh my God.
His father, listen, his dad had to escape out of the compound. I don't know if you know this.
No.
Yeah, his mom and dad had to escape from the Scientology compound to leave that Miscavige Jr. That's a whole world. And I don't know, in your travels, you ever been recruited by them?
No.
Oh
no, but I do know somebody. So I know two people. One person who was recruited, left, she used to work with us, left her job with her boyfriend and moved into the compound here in
like Randburg.
Near Cyril Dean. No, the one near Cyril Dean. Geez, there's another compound near Cyril Dean. She moved there and just like left work. I was just like, couldn't believe it. She was like, she's leaving, resigned from her job. Like a sensible girl, right? Mm. Pretty, blonde girl, lovely. And then about 8 months later, I saw her working at a health shop in Rosebank.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, so then I didn't know if I should ask, but how are you doing? What are you doing here? No, What's going on? Like it was very awkward. Orcs.
Once you get into those things, it's very hard to get out. But yeah, I'll watch that Louis Theroux thing. He's great and everything he's done is just amazing. But Pums, you've never had a conversation with one of these cult people, have you?
Well, I couldn't have. I have had one conversation with a young man whose parents left him in the cult. So like your story, Mbulelo. So he grew up in the cult. So he grew up in Scientology or something.
Yes.
Something crazy. And like his parents left him there. I was just like, what the hell? Like I can't imagine leaving Kanego behind.
There's no parent who could do that unless they've been so brainwashed. But it shows you, like, that's the amazing thing, right? That you think nature has bestowed humans with this incredible instinct to first and foremost, no matter what, protect their young and never give up on their young, no matter what happens. This is why you've got parents whose kids do become killers or whatever, and they still support them and they still love them, moms and dads. And you know how twisted these cults and things have, and I mean even politics and religion to a degree. You know how twisted these things have to be to make parents give up their kids into these cults. It's revolting. It's absolutely terrible. Just look at these comments, Gary.
Oh no, I have had conversations. You know what we also see a lot of in Soweto, and I don't know if in other townships. Mm-hmm. We also have in Pimville. There's a big Church of the Latter-day Saints. And you know that they go in twos, well-dressed young men that ride their bicycles and try and convert people. Yes. So there used to be a lot of that in Pimville. Like you'd see these strange white guys that just like walking around, talking to people. They knock on doors very much like Jehovah's Witnesses, a kind of a Jehovah's Witness kind of vibe.
Those are the ones who come to your door and they go, have you heard the good news about our Lord Jesus Christ? And then, you know, you're meant to open up and they come in and they give you this thing called the lighthouse and they talk you through it.
Yeah. So,
yeah, those are the guys.
I've had those kinds of conversations.
And you are the kind of person who would invite them in and say, yeah, come and tell me about this.
No, you know what? I've got a special talent of people telling me the weirdest shit. Like 5 minute conversation, even 3 minute conversation, people are just telling me stuff and I'm always gobsmacked. I'm like, I don't even know how we got to this. I don't know how we got here, but okay, go with it. People tell me shit.
That situation happened to me. Can I tell you, have you heard about the good news of Jesus or whatever? And I said to the guy, no, there is none. Oh. And he wasn't impressed at the door. Like I was at the door. Yeah, there is no good news.
I used to. I mean, listen, I came up with all kinds of ideas. And I've never had a Jehovah's Witness knock on my door. But listen.
Never.
Natalie,
but I want to tell you a quick story about the cult thing.
Wait, there's some great comments here. So Natalie says, Devil's Daughter is brilliant. Those characters are so out there that the story would be unbelievable if it was fiction. Unbelievable. Jonestown. Waco. All crazy cults. How these cults have so much power over sensible people, and not forgetting Scientology. So that's Tracy talking more or less along the lines we have. And then Michael making a good point. All religions are cults until they become popular. it's just a matter of size. Really? No, that's the truth. I mean, all religions are cults until they reach a certain threshold of numbers. You know, if the Jonestown cult had grown to 10, 20,000 people, we wouldn't be having this conversation because they'd still be up and running, probably.
No.
I think so. Gary says.
No. I mean, look at the Moonies. Look at the Moonies.
No,
right?
that's a good point.
It's a huge cult, but it's still a cult. We're Moonies. Still like looking at it like.
The Moonies. Gary says, good morning from Krugersdorp. Dun, dun, dun.
Uh-oh.
Big fan. Gary. Big fan of you guys. My colleague was one of the people who was murdered by those maniacs. Rip Hunnelly.
What? No.
Rest in peace. Yeah. Wow. And then here's some interesting stuff about the Scientology dude. How do you say his name again? Muscovy.
Miscavige.
Whatever. Tracy says his dad passed away recently and his wife disappeared forever. No one has ever been able to find her. They're still looking for her.
His wife disappeared about a year and a half ago.
Mm.
So it's been a thing, and no one said anything. And a journalist asked Tom Cruise about it.
Yes.
And I try to find the clip, and it's nowhere to be found.
No, it must have been taken down.
Very funny.
So Lee says something I think a lot of us have been thinking about. She recently had an active Mormon slide into her DMs, clearly knocking on doors is out of fashion. I was wondering how long it would take the Mormons to come into social media and start knocking on those doors.
How? Like how? What makes you think they're a Mormon? What exactly did they say?
Well, usually
when they slid into those DMs.
Usually when they start with, have you heard the good news about our Lord Jesus Christ? You know what you're in for. That's kind of usually where it starts.
I've been watching also on Showmax, I think, Big Love. Mm. Do you remember Big
Love? That's the guy with the polygamist.
The three wives.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. With the little Mormon sects. Like the Mormon cult is quite a thing. There's a couple of documentaries on Netflix about it.
Yes.
And about and how they found the good news.
Someone once gave me a little book called Cults and Sects, and it talks about these it gives a nice breakdown of all the big cults in history. And I mean there's some of the weirdest ones are around now. You'd think that you'd have to dig around in history, but some of the weirdest ones are now. And invariably, the leader of these cults is always some kind of sex maniac.
Yes.
Right?
I remember when you and Leanne went happy about her going to something in the Midlands there, and I can't remember where it was, and I said it was a cult, and you guys said I was wrong.
Yeah.
Every cult, the man just wants to get the wang out and just spread the seed. That is all it's about.
It's amazing how they'll fill in all the other gaps to complete the spiritual picture. But first, in the center of the whole philosophy has to be that the guy is getting a lot of action from multiple women. That's usually at the center of any cult. And just be aware, if you know, we've got smart listeners, so I don't doubt for a second that the alarm bells would go off for most of us who listen to the show and who join in on this show every day. But you never know. If there is sex involved and that there's a guy, it's usually a straight man in the middle of it who is running this thing, and who ultimately there has to be a payment that is due in the form of sex at some point to this dude. That's how you know you're in a cult.
So I used Corona's to manage a boring ski shop, right?
Yeah, sorry. Go, Pums.
Comment. Corona's Boring sent an email saying, my mom invites Jehovah's Witnesses inside and then tries to evangelize them.
It's unbelievable. Yeah, there's a podcast according to...
to be a fly on that wall.
Dogozo says there's a podcast on Spotify called Cults. It's quite cool, and yeah, all of those guys are sex maniacs. Andy says, what do you get when you cross a Jehovah's Witness with a Hell's Angel? Someone who knocks on your door and tells you to fuck off. Yeah. Mm. Have you ever wanted to start a cult? Because I seriously thought about this. I looked at all these pastors, these evangelical pastors that are hugely popular in South Africa. And, you know, some of them have had to flee the country because they've stolen so much money.
Those are also cults.
Of course they are. I mean, there's that guy who made people drink the petrol, and the guy who made people eat the grass and spray the doom in their faces. You remember. Those are cults. But
why is that different to the guy in the funny hat at the Vatican that says, come eat this biscuit, it's Jesus' body? Like, it's not that different.
Well, precisely, but the difference is in this situation, like, people are actively harming themselves. I mean, you could argue that the Catholic Church does harm to particularly young children in very obvious ways. But in this case, I suppose, because it's less established, we hear about these stories and we're always horrified. I want to know whether it's worth starting one of these things purely from a financial point of view. I mean, I get that a lot of these leaders are into it because they're getting lots of sex and stuff, but the money is huge in these charismatic churches. Huge, huge money. And why I say, have you ever been tempted to start one of these, is because if you play your cards right and you have a good team around you, it's a business. And man, can you make some Tom.
So here's the thing that, though, that I've come to recognize about any business is the best business that makes the most amount of money with seemingly little effort is always the other guy's business.
Yep.
So if you, I'm sure there's a hang of a lot of work that goes into being like a charismatic pastor. Like, you have to think about every, so first of all, every single Sunday, you have to think about something different to say about a book that's only got 66 chapters.
Are you joking? Right?
So every single Sunday.
We talk, have, and then we talk about something different every morning. We do it 5 days a week. Yeah, we could do this with our eyes closed.
We can talk about anything. We can talk about anything. This guy is confined to 66 chapters in one book. Everything he talks about has to come out of these 66 chapters every freaking Sunday.
Listen.
Although, no, but having said that, I think you can break it up, because I was saying to some of our colleagues yesterday, like, who I always get confused. Who's the guy that parted the sea, Noah or the other guy?
No, Moses parted the sea.
Moses. So, that's wrong. Like, I was saying, imagine him going, all right.
Noah survived the flood.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. With two of every animal on one boat. Yeah. It's still baffling, but okay. What's it? I always thought of the guy, hey, open sesame, whatever, the sea parts. And can you just imagine him on the trip? Like, all right, we're going, no photos, please. You know, it's like it's a long walk. It's a little dangerous. Everybody look forward and get a walk along, buddy. Like, you can always break those stories up, you know, and like you tell Meryl who brought a camera at the back and like
you can add to them. They're fertile ground for an imaginative storyteller.
Yeah.
Anyway, I mean, here's a good point being made by Graham. Graham says, Amway, Herbalife, Tupperware, those are all cults trying to convince people to buy their shit. That's true too, right? So, I mean, a lot of people are in the cult of Jeff Bezos or of Elon Musk. You can see it. Those are the cool kids of the moment. You know, religious leaders have been superseded by business leaders in terms of the public imagination. And you can see that their cult, there is a certain ideology in it. There are certain things that they do because they're the leader. They go to space, you know, they're forging the new frontiers. You could argue that those people command cults, the Branson cult with all of his books, and those are like his Bibles, and, you know, the speeches that he goes to that everybody pitches up for, and the businesses that they worship, and they try to recreate those concepts in their own lives. You could argue that that politicians do a little bit of this. It's not too much
of a
stretch.
Or even self-help.
Self-help's a big one. Guys like that, what's that dude's name who's so – Tim Robbins?
Tony Robbins.
I mean, that's definitely – that's a cult for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm in a cult like football, you know. Football,
that's a cult,
The tribal, it's extremely cult-like. So, yeah.
So you see, you give it a few minutes of introspection and you suddenly realize, hang on, I might be in cults already. I might already have some membership in these things. The other one that I think is a major, major cult is, you know, people like
social media.
Well, social. Yes. But the difference there is that I don't think there's a leader. It's a leaderless, it's an anarchic cult, but it's still cult-like. I had a huge discussion yesterday with a bunch of people I'm in a WhatsApp group with about the evils of social media. I just want to read you one thing that came up. Because this is maybe...
Devils.
Well, I didn't join in the conversation.
There's devil's dorp in your phone.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, really, that's the case for many people. Let me just find this for you quickly. So somebody says...
I can't believe somebody knew got killed in that... Like, that always happens to other people. You know, whenever I hear about, like, ridiculous things, I don't have too much of that that I know of, because I'm pretty sure it happens in my family. I just haven't heard about it. But isn't it always someone else that gets killed in Devil's Door or something like that? It's never someone you know.
No,
unbelievable.
There were so many people killed, and they were doing rituals. It was really awful. It was I've got to watch the documentary, because then we can talk about it with some authority. Because some of the people who've commented here have been listening, have been watching the documentary. May Fork Marilis. Yeah, that's the only response. So we were talking about this. This person who's been like saying these ridiculous things on Twitter or whatever. And someone said, it's almost like that person is living in an episode of Black Mirror. Their only value is on social media. The only people they have connection with start with an @. They're not of the actual world. And it must be a very scary thing to have committed your brain and mind to that. If this was in the 70s or 80s, they'd either become a drug addict, a Jehovah's Witness, or a pedophile or something. With a slightly more traditional way of being ill, yeah, in society. Because you know what, there's a lot of twisted and sick people in there. And a lot of people say that the lack of substance, but little bit of ambition, makes the internet the place to go to if you have these problems. And apparently there is an episode of Black Mirror where it shines the light on how the internet has screwed humans up. I mean, any of those episodes, because it's a great series. It's just so interesting that people, they've got more of a life online than they do in their real life. That's when I think you know you've got problems. And that is the biggest cult of all at the moment. That's where Pumi's right. I think my sister, this is Dude 69. I think my sister is an Amway cult leader. She's always trying to sell shit to me. Her words always fall on deaf ears. Yeah, I'll have a look into it is my answer. Every time. Large group awareness training like Tony Robbins presents have huge similarity to that ideology in Scientology. Mm. Yeah, listen, and the people who go to those things are always the same sort of people. They're what you call seekers, right? They're the same people who would do they'd join a religious cult, or they'd become an enthusiast of drugs or whatever it is, because they're always seeking, they're looking for something, they're trying to find something that'll change their lives and put them on the right track. And they usually go from one addiction to the next, to the next, to the next, and eventually the addiction that is socially acceptable for them is motivational speakers or religion, because obviously gambling, drugs, sex, those are not socially acceptable, so they just transfer the addictive part of their behavior to something that is socially acceptable. And then people go, oh, it's so great that that Tom found Jesus, because it was always a problem when he was on the rails and rails of cocaine. But as soon as he found Jesus, that was fine. Now Tom's going around trying to persuade everybody to join his cult because he's addicted.
just to be clear, Tom didn't find Jesus. Jesus found Tom. Jesus was never lost. So
that's true.
Just have some respect there, Gareth, please.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
This is what the religious people would say.
Devil's Dorp Satanism is a red herring. There was no Satanism involved, just a greedy cult leader getting her members to give her money and commit murders. Well, you see, I have to watch it, Natalie, but thank you. I'll get into it. Lee making another good point. CrossFit is kind of like a cult. Absolutely.
Ooh, yeah.
Definitely.
And veganism.
Definitely. Not kind of.
Yeah, definitely. I had such a nice steak yesterday at lunch. I very nearly posted a picture of it. I had a lunch meeting with somebody, and then I decided, screw this, I'm getting a 500-gram ribeye on the bone, right? Yes, it was nice. And I got this, and I was going to post something and say, what a great day. Today, I am not wearing a mask. Today, I am eating a 500-gram ribeye on the bone. I might go and buy a gun later this afternoon. Freedom, freedom. A luta continua. Amandla. But I decided not to. I thought it would cause too much trouble. So I'll just tell you on the show.
Good. Good stuff.
Yeah. Look, the sun is up. You see? 5:30. This is time.
That's a clear leap from CrossFit and cults to the steak.
Yeah, correct. I'm just making it relatable to myself. So let's take a look. If there's any cult for me, it is freedom. It's my own freedom. Everything else comes second. So here's an interesting new thing that's going on. And, you know, headlines, we try to pay attention to what's happening here, but this is quite interesting. So apparently WhatsApp have brought up a new feature called View Once. You heard about this?
Oh, Sam.
Yeah. WhatsApp's rolling out a feature that will allow users to have photos or videos vanish after they are seen. After the recipient opens the image for the first time, View Once deletes it without saving it to the phone. WhatsApp said the feature was aimed at giving users even more control over their privacy. Oh, really? What do you think this is going to be used for? Huh?
I phoned a nerd friend of mine. Yeah. I'm afraid.
Yeah. What did he say?
No, he said digital, the sort of the digital, ah, man, I wish I wasn't an idiot like I am. I think he said digital signature or something. Anyway, so he says, no, once you send something like that, it exists somewhere forever.
Digital footprint.
Is that what it is? Yeah. No. Sorry, I'm an idiot. I don't know things. Yeah.
So listen to this. Apparently, they've decided that child protection advocates have expressed concern auto-vanishing image could help cover up evidence of child sex abuse. So they, ironically, the people who are campaigning against this sort of technology are the child, you know, the child protection people, because they're saying, no, if we want to catch people who are sharing, you know, kiddie porn or whatever, we should be able to find the evidence fairly easily. They shouldn't be able to cover it up with this stuff. So it's interesting that they're on the one side. And then you've got other people who are saying, no, we've got to have people's privacy protected because people use these images to blackmail and extort each other. You know, the revenge porn stuff. So the National Society of Prevention of Cruelty to Children in the UK is at odds with WhatsApp's parent company, Facebook, over the use of encrypted messaging. They say that police cannot see the messages in transit, only the sender and receiver can. But auto-deleting messages could mean that devices seized in police raids no longer contain any evidence either. The feature that is called View Once could put children at risk by giving offenders another tool to avoid detection. And they're marketing View Once as a privacy feature from a WhatsApp side. So this is interesting. You can't, it won't save it to your camera roll. And then someone has to send you a password in order for you to.
Okay, I'm glad they have to send you a password, because the minute I read about that thing, I just thought there are millions of unsuspecting women that are about to get terrifying images of
penises.
People's appendages.
Yes. What is that? Why would a guy listen? You know, I understand if you're hitting on someone and you know them, but if you're a guy and you send unsolicited dick pics to poor unsuspecting women, I don't know how you think that's going to roll out for you. Like, how do you think it's going to go? Do you think she's going to fall in love because you sent her a picture of your penis? It's just unbelievable.
It's a terrifying thing. It's a terrifying thing.
Like, here's
it's
some
terrifying thing.
Yeah. No man looks good naked. Like, it's very different for a woman. Is unfortunately the thing is gravity ish. Like, breaking news, men, none of you look good. No, there's nobody who looks good naked for men, just because of obviously it's women privilege. I just want to stay in a time of equality. It's female privilege that they look good naked, and we must address that as well. But anyway, that's a separate subject.
But you're talking you're saying that for you, Bulelo. I guarantee you there are some women who do find it, and gay guys who find it attractive. But for you, it's not attractive. So what you've got to think about here is, again, it's not about me. But there are probably people who find the people you find horribly unattractive attractive.
But it's about – no. So the attraction is a separate issue. It's about the unsolicited nature of it. You know, when it's consensual, it's a whole different experience.
Yeah.
It's the unsolicited that's problematic.
Yeah, I got you. That's exactly right.
Because that's the part that's a violation. I've not requested this. You know, it's different if you're pulling a Jeff Radebe, St. Lutz, you know. It's a different story. Maranje.
But also, I mean, you know, this is the point being made by Bailey. Bailey says you can screenshot these things. And then you have...
But it goes off as soon as you open it. You open it and then it goes. So you don't even know that I should screenshot this image.
Ah.
How much time lapses between? So it's
actually men that are cheating on their wives that have kind of that's said we need from. This. I know as a guy how I think is I've always told people this, Chief. It's not that you cheated on your girlfriend that she's upset. No. That's not what it is. Because I always ask my female, hide it. All the ladies want that I've experienced is hide it enough or respect me enough to hide it better. It's never that the cheating's actually third or fourth on the list. So it's the men who cheat who go, yarr, if only there was a way, man, for me to see, is Thando Sam, but just for a little second. And then, you know what I mean? I'm not George. I'm telling you this. As a man, I know how.
Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. All right.
Mbulelo, are you the spokesperson now? You're out here representing. Yes.
Well,
I cannot comment at this stage.
Bailey says it's not timed. So Bailey says it's not timed. It disappears when you close it. So the screenshot will work.
Yeah, you see, that's what I'm thinking. All right. So the SIU are going to probe new info linking Zwelin Mkhize's family to the Digital Vibes tender saga. He's really fallen far.
Have we not got enough?
Well, apparently.
We need more.
Apparently, they've been looking into this and they found new information that links Health Minister Zwelin Mkhize's family to money that's been siphoned off as part of the Digital Vibes contract, which the health department entered into at a cost of 150 million. Now, I am very happy that Zwelin Mkhize, who's a very senior man, in the cabinet when he was Minister of Health, especially during the coronavirus pandemic, but also was the former Treasurer General of the ANC, so a man who's been dealing with money for a long time. They've got to prosecute him, right? I don't care about any of these investigations until they lead to prosecution. Someone has to go to jail. And I get that Digital Vibes is such an obvious cut and dried problem, but I can't help thinking that this is small fry. 150 million is nothing for the kind of money that governments spend and the kind of money that is stolen from governments on a daily basis. We've got to go after the big fish too. And it's convenient for some people in the ANC to say, but Zwelin Mkhize, because he's an easy guy to go for. And I want to know who the others are who've got money. And what's interesting about the Zwelin Mkhize case is that it gets more interesting, Pums, as we discover some family members are scored here. There's a couple of million going to this cousin or this aunt or this uncle or this person who was married to this person, but now they've got a different surname. So on the tender documents, they could disguise it. You know what I mean? There's a lot of skullduggery going on here. We will have to see.
Pathetic.
It is pathetic. But this is what's happening. While ordinary old you and me are trying to make money in South Africa the honest, legitimate way, people like Zwelin Mkhize are doing this. So there we go. Mbulelo, they're calling you a sellout. Old Obi Kenobi says, Mbulelo, not all guys have to worry about gravity. Small Nyanantondo. Onkopotse says, Mbulelo, did you have a young dope today? Like they're accusing you of being an alcoholic this time in the morning. Khotso says, Mbulelo is a sellout. Graham says on the Zwelin Mkhize story, lock them all up. Honestly, we could get pitchforks and make a holiday of it. Have a cleanup day where we literally remove the lot of them. Well, Pums, happy Women's Day.
We have that. It's called
Happy Women's Day in advance for Monday, while we're talking about holidays. What do we have? We have what's called?
We have elections.
Not good enough.
Clean them out.
Tell me quickly the you were going to say we have that day already, and then you pulled a face when I said Happy Women's Day in advance. Why? Because it's just you think it's a stupid holiday.
I keep asking myself what is it? Is it happy? What is this day about? Really? Is it about what is it? Is it happy? Is it a commemoration? Commiseration? I don't know.
It's what we call pandering. It's what politicians do to try and make a constituency feel that they're cared for when they're doing nothing for that constituency.
There are so many things to point at and go, really? Really? Is this day, are we talking about the gender parity? Are we talking about the inequality of earning, the inequality of workload? So who, yesterday I saw a statistic from Oxfam about the fact that a senior executive in private sector takes 23 hours to make the same amount of money as 500 women at the bottom end of the earning scale. Like,
And you think about the burden they carry in society. Like, if South Africa's women weren't looking after South Africa's children, and I mean financially, I don't mean just in terms of being the primary caregiver, the whole country would fall apart. We would literally have not one child being raised properly, not one child having access to anything. Because
when you think about the fact that girls, the number of girls dropping out of school versus the number of boys that drop out are so much higher because of things as arbitrary as they don't have access to sanitary wear.
Right.
Therefore, they just don't go to school. And, you know, you miss a week for every month of school. It's ridiculous. They can never catch up. Or that they look after younger siblings or have to cook or housework or fetch the water. Or it's just really happy Women's Day.
Gentle Inflatable
miss
says,
me with that shit.
Is there any other country that celebrates Women's Day? There are. There are lots of countries that do.
There are. We have an International Women's Day on the 8th of March.
That's right. So
It's in the UN, UN calendar.
Robin says Women's Day and Valentine's Day make me cringe. I'm inclined to agree. And Carl says a woman's work is never done.
Statistics.
A woman's work is never done. Maybe that's why they get paid less.
Listen. So 2 days ago, in the US is the day in the year in August. Like I think on the 2nd of August, that is when in that year they have made up the same amount of money as a man there in their
yes, but you know that this whole
category,
this whole thing
you know, it takes 8 months more.
But you know that that's a bit of a misnomer because they also don't take into consideration the fact that that women are the only ones in human society who can get pregnant. They also don't take into consideration that men do more dangerous work. They also don't take into consideration that women are more agreeable than men generally when it comes to salary negotiations. They don't take into consideration that night time jobs and that difficult jobs that you know require a lot of physical arduous work are mostly undertaken by men. Those are real gender differences. There's never going
to
be complete equity in pay.
Because they're not comparing. But if you do the same job, for the same amount of hours,
yes,
then you should be paid the same.
Well, in the professions, women actually earn more in America. You know, lawyers, female lawyers, if they decide not to have children, there's always provisos to this because if you decide not to have kids, you can work a 14-hour day at the office as a man. You know, if you're a woman to do that, you can't have kids. There unfortunately has to be some kind of – that's just how it works because who's going to look after the children? Who's going to bear the children in the first place, you know? So there are obviously –
Yeah, so miss me with the day.
Yeah.
Miss me with the day.
Right.
That says –
Absolutely.
You know, so then
– Yeah. No.
Like, let's take it all the way to happy birthday as well. I like your energy there, Pumi. Let's take it all the way.
What did you mean?
Let me not go.
Listen, you know who deserves a happy birthday?
Who?
It's the mother. Nope. That's who. It's the mother.
Especially the mother.
Just have 365. Yeah.
Especially the mothers.
365 days.
Mothers that used to have like, you know, 8 kids or whatever. And there's still those moms who have like lots and lots of kids. And you think, that woman must be exhausted.
Bloody hell.
No, it's incredible.
I have a friend who's got 4-year-old twins.
Oh, yeah?
I was just like, girl, at this age.
That is hard work. Well, we're talking about birthdays, but here's an interesting birthday coming up. Barack Obama is turning 60. And despite the fact that there's a third wave in America, he's decided to go ahead and have a big 60th birthday party in Martha's Vineyard. Mr. Obama turned 60 on Wednesday and had planned a major celebration on Martha's Vineyard in Massachusetts this weekend. A lot of people have been criticizing him for planning this. I mean, you know, it's funny. Like, these are the same people who will say that it's not a big deal, the third wave of the Delta variant. So make up your mind. Is it a big deal or isn't it? If it's not a big deal, then let Obama have his party. If it is a big deal, then by all means complain about it. But you can't have your cake and eat it in this particular case. So only close friends and family will now attend. He's canceled the rest of it because public pressure was mounting. His spokesperson said the outdoor event on Saturday was planned months ago, but he and his wife Michelle have decided to limit its size now. He's appreciative of others sending their birthday wishes from afar and looks forward to seeing people soon. Apparently he was going to have George Clooney, Steven Spielberg, Oprah Winfrey. They were all going to pitch up and visit for his 60th birthday. The Obamas had reportedly encouraged people to get tested before attending and have repeatedly urged people to get vaccinated too. But they said they're now going to scale back because pressure. So there we go.
That's wild. Why doesn't he just have it at a restaurant then? Because I'm pretty sure restaurants are open. So yeah. Just have it at a restaurant. Mr. Obama, well, there we go. You solved it.
You know, the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, he had a big birthday bash at a restaurant when he banned all other restaurants from opening. He got a special because, you know, he's one of the specials. You know, and when I say that, I'm being as sarcastic as it's possible to be. These politicians who say you must do this, but don't do what I do. Do what I say. And he opened up this very fancy restaurant in the vineyards in California called the French Laundry. And he and about 25 of his good friends, including the people who had helped him formulate these mandates and lockdowns, they were all there. Like the senior health advisor for California, the one who'd said, we got to shut down, we've got to lock down, restaurants must be closed, was actually sitting there at the restaurant having dinner. And none of them were wearing masks. This was long before there was a vaccine. So they're just hypocrites. They're all hypocrites.
And you know what's weird? Like Massachusetts is built on like they're known as the home of even their football team is called the Patriots, right? Like freedom, they are the home of freedom. When you speak of that, because when you look at the Ivy Leagues and the reason that was started, you look at MIT. There's a reason why there's something called coastal elitism, especially when you go east. Like Massachusetts is one of those places that prides themselves on like freedom. We'll do it our way.
Yes.
And now, what is this? Let an old guy who...
This is why I am this is why I'm consistent.
8 years.
I don't give a shit. Like, I don't care if you've been vaccinated. I don't care if you mask. I don't care if you've been tested. If I invite you for a party, it's up to you. If you decide to come here and spread coronavirus to everyone else, well, I'm willing to take that risk. Because it's not the same. You know, these people who say to you, oh, well, if you don't wear a mask, that's like not wearing a seatbelt in the car. No, it's not. If you don't wear a seatbelt in your car, you are much more likely to be killed in a car accident, should you have a car accident, than if you don't wear a mask at a party. I mean, the chances of coronavirus killing people is still statistically very, very small as compared with the number of people who get killed in car accidents. So it's not the same. You can't equate two things that are completely different, apples and pears, and then say they're both apples. That's why I have a problem with the people on the right and on the left. Because they're extremists. The right-wing people in America are all saying, this thing is nothing. You don't have to wear a mask. You don't have to sanitize your hands. You don't have to get tested. You don't have to get vaccinated. Just carry on with life as normal, which is irresponsible. And then you got the people on the left who are saying you have to do all of this stuff. And then you still are basically murdering people if you take your mask off to eat your lunch at a restaurant. It's ridiculous. It's like... Both of you are complete nutcases. Let Barack Obama have his birthday party and invite whoever the hell he wants. And for all those people on the right who are criticizing him now, wouldn't you love it if Barack Obama's birthday became a super spreader event? Then you could bitch about that for the rest of your life. But no, you want both sides of this. You want to look like you're virtuous. Just take your virtue and shove it up your ass.
Do you think if they got an invitation to the party, they'd like turn it down?
They would, because they hate Barack Obama, right? I mean, they really do. They hate Obama, and they'd say, "Oh, well, I got an invite to Barack Obama's thing, and I said no," and they'd feel like that gets them virtue points. Everybody's in this big contest for virtue. So ridiculous. Just let the guy have his... Nothing. I'm with Mbulelo. Let him have his fucking birthday. I mean, like, does anybody... Who the hell are you to tell Barack Obama who to invite to his birthday or how to do it? Just leave him alone. The guy was president of the United States for a good 8 years. And if you hated him being president of the United States, you should be wishing he invites corona-positive people to his party and spreads it around. If you hate him, be consistent. If you love him, then let him have his party as well. Just either way, stay out of his business. Him and Michelle. Just let them do their thing.
Break.
Yeah, exactly. Leave him alone.
Michelle seems like a handful. She actually had to write books and get involved.
Like you leave Britney alone. It's so irritating. It's like if, you know, you hear about these people in Australia, like the police are going crazy. Australia is like a dictatorship at the moment. They're literally sending police from house to house checking if everybody in that house actually lives there. It's like a Donbass. You know what I mean? No, you love it.
I love it because, you just, again, as a South African, how many times all of the things that they all celebrated as they left, it's like, oh, we're so free here. It's just, you know, it's unbelievable to just go get an ice cream when I want, you know? Okay. Actually, it comes at a price, and you see exactly what you're living in now. So I bet you'd like to be back in Joburg, which is what they sound like, by the way. So I'm fully entitled.
And just by the way, before I get into trouble with all of the people who listen to us from different parts of Australia, we know it's not everywhere, okay? There are certain places like New South Wales and in what's the other place that they – not the ACT. Where is Melbourne again? Anyway, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Those are the provinces
the
where they most uptight.
All this, in Wuhan, they were nailing people into their apartments.
Welding them into their apartments. Are you joking? Yeah.
Like,
fantastic.
This has been so, guys, we have been living through a cult. Like the whole world is a cult. We're in the middle of it. It's like this has been, if you just look back, just...
Yeah.
10 months. We come from quite a thing.
Tell me. So I just want to quickly, before we wrap up, talk about something you brought up just now. Some of the worst human beings in the world are these people that love to tell you, so and so invited me. There's no way I'm going to that. She invited me. She actually thinks me.
Audacity.
Don't they love it? Did you know those people?
And
you
said worst. It just now. Yeah, the very they worst, the lowest of the low.
Turned it down. Yeah. Are you kidding? And after that and that, and she thinks I would go.
Yeah.
Like, why are you telling me you're not going? Like, okay, are you better than
you must
that
know I was invited.
Yeah.
Must know. They wanted me there. They wanted
those,
me there.
Those people are like the people who... if there's a controversy in social media and the person in question apologizes, they're the ones who go, well, I don't accept your apology. It's like, who the hell are you? No one cares about you. No, I was invited, but I'm not going to go. Ooh, well, better stop the party then, because if you're not there, it's all going to fall apart. Ooh, got such an inflated sense of self. Jesus. You know, these people need to be brought down a rung or two. If you go around telling people, if you've ever done this, if you go around doing what Mbulelo's just told us now, I was invited to Barack Obama's birthday, but I'm not going to go to that. You're a disgusting person. Similarly, if you think that everyone on earth is craving your approval or craving your forgiveness, you have another thing coming. That is not how it works, and nobody's thinking about you. I promise you. All right, we do have to wrap this up because we've got the burning platform coming up next. It's moved very fast this morning. Sure, we've had a lot to talk about.
What? We've only got three of the news articles.
I know, we got three headlines done and we haven't stopped talking. Jeez.
Mbulelo, it's all your fault and your dorp.
Yeah, you started
it. It was the
this.
Devil. The devil made me do it. Me and Charlotte Hansi Cronier.
Michael says there are people who are so compliant that there are babies who have not yet seen their parent without a mask on. And there are parents. There are parents who are making their babies wear masks. There are people like that. I promise you, he's right.
Talking about
There was an article in the New York Times about 4 or 5 months ago from this woman who is she keeps her child in a room because she's worried about the child's safety. She like literally is about a 4-year-old child, so it's not a an infant. But she feeds the child by pushing a tray in and then closing the door again. And this is how it's been going for like 2 years. And this woman is, no, but she's not afraid for the child's health. She's not worried about the kid getting corona. She's clever enough, in inverted commas, to know that kids are not as susceptible to this disease as adults. What she's doing it for is because she's afraid of getting coronavirus from her own child. Now, that person, you should be calling social services. That person should have her kid taken away from her permanently. She is a danger to her child. That is abuse. But this is going on. And she wrote an article in the New York Times explaining how she's frightened of her own child. It's unbelievable. There are people like that, hey? There really are. You think about the craziness that we see around us, and you think about how many people are running around telling other adults to put on masks or telling other adults, I didn't see you sanitize your trolley. Stay in your own lane.
I'm just saying, we spoke about mental illness last week.
This is mental illness. It's the one that no one's talking about at the moment. We're talking about you. If you're doing that, we're looking at you, right, Pumi? We're judging. Big time.
We'll talk about it soon again. And this is where we have a huge divergence, Gareth, is you're a proponent of leave people their own devices. Mm-hmm. This is why we don't. Who is this mad thing that is allowed to do this in 2021? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's what?
Yeah,
children. What about the mental development? Like, children don't develop food. Like now, especially Pumi, you would know better than me. The mom-child connection is an unspoken thing, which helps the child
Guys,
develop.
We got to wrap this up. I'm afraid we're out of time.
And I'm not a doctor.
You're not a doctor, but I mean, at least you admit that. You know, Bulelo, remind me tomorrow. We've got to tackle this thing about the moon affecting people's sleep, which you and I were dissing the other morning. And I got a very serious complaint from one of our listeners who makes a very good point about how we are stupid and we haven't looked at the other side of that argument. And you know what, Bulelo? We've got to admit we're often stupid. Sometimes we get caught out.
Yes.
So we'll deal with that tomorrow.
At all times.
We'll deal with that tomorrow. But Pumi and I have urgent business with Solly Moeng coming up in the Burning Platform. That is next. Burning Platform, of course, brought to you by Nando's. And just before I go to Nando's, what do boats, diffusion, and breakfast possibly have to do with culture? Pumi, this is something you care about. According to King Price's culture expert, Marno Bosov, a whole lot. King Price brings you a new podcast called A Word from the King, where they explore the many facets of workplace culture from the perspective of King Price's one-of-a-kind culture model. And they really do have a one-of-a-kind culture model. I've been there. It's a very, very fun place to work. Learn how to balance culture and strategy. Make the switch from have to want to, and intentionally design a company culture that inspires and motivates everyone who walks through the business's doors. All 7 episodes are available right now on cliffcentral.com, or if you want to, you can find them on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, Pocket Casts, or wherever you listen. That's King Price and the new podcast series from them called A Word from the King. Take a listen to that if you haven't already, and you will be pleased that you did. Go and check it out today. Cliffcentral.com.